The story is told of an older couple sitting on their lanai, enjoying the evening together, and they were drinking a glass of wine, just enjoying the quiet of the evening. They were sitting there quietly, and then the wife said, "Wow, I love you." The husband turned and looked at her and said, Is that the wine speaking, or you?" And his wife said, "Oh, that's me. I'm talking to the wine." Sometimes we don't always understand what the person means when they're speaking, do we? Jesus, in his time here on earth, spoke many times in parables and used expressions that could be taken several different ways. Often, Jesus had to explain what he really meant later on to his disciples. Today's gospel reading is one of those times when what he said could be taken several different ways. And it's only through the lens of time that we, his disciples, understand what he meant. Jesus quotes from the prophet Isaiah and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year or the new era of the Lord's favor." This is a section from Isaiah where the prophet's talking about the days of blessing that will happen when the Messiah comes. John the Baptizer has been telling the Jews, "The Messiah is coming any day now." And Jesus has been working marvelous miracles in Galilee, and now he's back in his hometown. And everyone is on the edge of their seats, so to speak, to hear what he's going to say now. And he tells them that this scripture is fulfilled, or in the Greek it could be understood to say, this scripture is being inaugurated. It's begun. It's starting right now in your hearing. The time of blessing of the Messiah is beginning. The Jews look around. They don't see any armies being raised. What is Jesus talking about? What does he mean exactly? He says he's going to bring good news to the poor. At first glance, we might think Jesus is simply talking about bringing good news to people who don't have much money. But the word used is actually broader than that. Jesus is referring to people who don't matter, who don't count. Jesus has a message of hope for all those people who are not the important people in the world. It's just like at his birth. The angels bring the message to whom? They bring it to the shepherds, a class of people who are at the bottom of the social rung, the unimportant, the forgotten about ones. And then, what is this good news? First, there's the proclamation for captives to be released. Now, the people listening were thinking in terms of being captive under the Romans, and that the Messiah would free them, that he would release them. The word translated as release here is used in Luke a number of different times, except usually it's translated as forgiven. The people were thinking of being freed from the Romans, but Jesus is thinking that they were being held captive by sin and being held prisoner by evil desires, because sin can so grip our lives that we're unable to break away from sinful habits of thinking and acting. And that's what he brought to us. He brings us freedom from the captivity of sin by giving us strength and help to stop. And he brings us freedom from the guilt of our having committed sin by his dying on the cross. Secondly, Jesus talks about the recovery of sight to the blind, and certainly Jesus did heal a number of blind people, but that wasn't his main mission. He wanted people to have a different way of looking at life. He wanted people to see who God was differently. He wanted people to understand how God intended people to live. Remember, Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." The recovery of sight for blind people was not so much for eyeballs that couldn't see, but for hearts that wouldn't see. Secondly, or thirdly, he will let the oppressed go free. The Jews listening to him were again thinking of being freed from foreign oppression and the cruelty of the occupying armies. But if once again we look at the Greek words, we see him saying literally that those who have been crushed or oppressed with cruelty, he will send out with forgiveness. What does he mean here? When people who have been crushed and oppressed with cruelty, there are serious wounds that occur within one's soul. What Jesus is telling them is that he will send out people who have had cruel things happen to them. He will help them be free by being able to forgive their enemies, being able to forgive those who have oppressed them. I heard about a man that went to go see his doctor because he was feeling absolutely terrible. The doctor gave him a careful examination. He left the room to look at some tests, and he came back with a very somber expression on his face. He said, "Sir, I don't know exactly how to break this to you, but you have rabies, and you're going to die very soon." The man seemed to take the news quite calmly. He took out a sheet of paper and began to write down things very fast. The doctor said, "What are you doing? Are you making out your will?" The man said, "Oh, no, no. I'm writing out a list of people I want to bite." William Willimon once said, "The human animal is not supposed to be good at forgiveness. Forgiveness is not some innate, natural human emotion. Vengeance, retribution, violence, these are natural human qualities. It's natural for the human animal to defend itself, to snarl and crouch into a defensive position when attacked, to howl when wronged, to bite back when bitten. Forgiveness is not natural. It's not a universal human virtue. Humans don't forgive naturally." The theologian R.C. Sproul once said, "People don't want to just get even when they've been wronged. Getting even is like kissing your sister. No, we want to hurt more than we have been hurt." Dale Hatch used an expression in his class some weeks ago. He used collecting stamps. He said that some types of people, some temperament types, tend to collect stamps. That is, they don't forget what wrongs have been done to them. They carefully store them away and remember them. That's you and me, isn't it? Whatever our temperament types, it's not easy to forgive. But to be able to forgive is one of the main reasons God sent Jesus Christ to us. To be able to have peace in our hearts through forgiveness is why we need a Messiah. And here he tells us that it's not simply the ability to forgive someone who may have cut into line in front of us, or perhaps who mildly insulted us. Jesus is talking about being able to forgive serious cruelty that has been done to us. How is this even possible? How can people be able to forgive another person who has cruelly hurt them? Certainly, we're not able to do this by our own strength. We need God's help through Christ. The Jews who heard Jesus speak didn't really understand what he was telling them. But looking backwards, we see Jesus came as the Messiah, and he came especially for those of us whom the world considers unimportant. And he comes to set us free from the power of guilt and sin. He comes to open our eyes to see how we should be living. He wants us to see what is really important in life. And finally, he wants us to be able to forgive. And to be able to forgive not only those small offenses, but even the cruel acts done to us by others. How? How can we do these things? Jesus, the Messiah, God sent, will help us. And we need to turn to him for help. And that is not just good news. It is, as the angels told the shepherds, good news of great joy. Amen.